and we'll be finishing up Joshua the end of the two Sundays from today. But this morning I wanted to look at some verses that deal with what is referred to as Palm Sunday, or the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And I wanted to read out of Luke and Matthew's Gospel. The account is in all four Gospels. But this morning I'd just like to read Luke and Matthew, and begin first with Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he had come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their garments in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of Mount Olives, and the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy servants. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And if you would turn to Matthew's Gospel, and we'll read Matthew's account of the same events in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 29. And as they parted from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, begin at Matthew chapter 21. And then when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying, Go into the village against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with the loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man ought unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on him their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. Father, help us to see that the events that transpired over 2,000 years ago are impacting lives across our world even today. Lord, help us to realize that just as you came 2,000 years ago, you had foretold your coming. You foretold the day you would come. You foretold the manner you would come. You foretold the purpose of your coming. But the people did not understand. Lord, help us to be prepared as you have said that you are coming again. And Lord, this time you're coming for your church. Then you shall return with your 10,000s of saints at the end of the tribulation to judge the whole world. Lord, I pray that we would be prepared and that we would know the hour in which we live. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably some of you were thinking, why are we singing Jesus is coming again when we're on celebrating Palm Sunday? Well, I want to give you a little bit of information about Palm Sunday and about the events that transpired surrounding Palm Sunday. First of all, they shouldn't have been spreading palms down on this day because this was not the day to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, although the Lord had come to be with the people, but they didn't acknowledge that he would come to tabernacle with them. They didn't realize that it was Jesus the Messiah. They looked at him as Jesus the miracle worker, Jesus the one that could deliver them from their enemies, Jesus the one that could give them their land back from the Romans. I started to read the verse beginning at chapter 20, verse 30, which talks about what happened at Jericho on his way up from Jericho to Jerusalem. And a multitude of people began to gather and follow him to Jerusalem. They were also going up there because this was to begin the beginning of the Feast of the Passover. The Feast of the Passover was where the Passover lambs were slain, and it was to remind the Jewish people of their deliverance from the land of Egypt under Moses. But it was even more than that. If you look at the Passover meal itself and look at the events surrounding the Passover, look at how Israel was delivered. They were delivered out of the world at that time and brought into a relationship with God. It speaks volumes of the coming Messiah and his purpose of delivering us from this world and its system into a marvelous relationship with him, and also helping us to understand his purpose for our deliverance. The people that were preparing for to usher him in to Jerusalem that day did not fully comprehend who he was. How do we know that? Well, in the passage we just read from Matthew's Gospel, he closes by saying that the multitude told, when asked, "Who is this?" that this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Not that this is Jesus, the Messiah. Not that this is Jesus, the one who has come to redeem us. Now, it's interesting what they cry out when they see him. They cry out two things that are messianic cries, but then they don't follow through with worshiping him as Messiah. The first being, "Hosanna, Hosanna." That means, "Save us, save us." It means, "Save us now." It's not, "Save us later." It's, "Save us now." What salvation did they need? That's the key. And then the second thing that they called out was, that "Blessed is he who is the Son of David and comes as the Son of David in the name of David." This would be a messianic statement because the one who would come would be David's son to establish his throne. Did they understand their salvation that they needed? Did they understand that they needed to come to the Lord? Well, I think a part of that is seen going back to Luke's Gospel, and that's where I want to look at a lot this morning, is out of Luke's Gospel. In Luke 19, when we were reading the account of Jesus entering the city, there's an interesting thing that Jesus did when he comes to enter the city of Jerusalem. Now, if you would go to Jerusalem, you would see that he would have started out on the Mount of Olives. He would have come down off the Mount of Olives, down through the Kidron Valley. Then he would have gone up the east side of Mount Moriah. And he would have entered the city through the eastern gate that was in the wall. And as he comes up the east side of Mount Moriah, coming down off of the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley and up the east side of Mount Moriah, you see that Jesus does an amazing thing. It says in verse 41, "And when he came near," that is when he came near the city of Jerusalem, "he beheld the city, and he wept over it." Why did he weep? Why did he weep? Well, it says in verse 42, it tells us. It says, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thine day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Well, that speaks volumes of what Jesus has just been a part of. He's telling them that they do not know, and he's weeping over the fact that they do not know. The prophets told them. They can go back in Zechariah 9:9, if you just want to hold your finger in Luke and turn back in the Old Testament to the prophet Zechariah. And in Zechariah 9:9, it gives the account of the events that we just read about happening. In Zechariah 9:9 and verse 10, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt of the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the horse of from Jerusalem, and the bridle, the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth." They're speaking, the prophet's speaking of the fact that there's coming. And notice one of the first things that he says that he's bringing is what? Salvation. Salvation. He's coming as the king, and he's coming as the Messiah, and he's bringing salvation to Israel and to the whole world. And he says the whole world will experience the power of his salvation and his peace. But these people did not read verse 10, nor did they really look at what verse 9 said. They didn't have verses back then, but they really didn't listen to what Zechariah was speaking of when he was speaking of the coming Messiah. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they looked at him as an earthly king, not as the messianic king that would rule and reign forever and bring salvation. And they did not understand that he needed to come to take away their sin in order to establish his kingdom. I've shared with you once before that had not Jesus come to die on the cross first, and had he not died to take away the sin of the world, and had his going to the cross not been there to pay the penalty for our sins and the sins of all people, he'd have the most empty kingdom that would ever be, because there'd be nobody in it. Because he'd have to judge every man that was alive for their sin. And there be no means of paying the price for their sin. But he came to pay that price. And as he entered into Jerusalem, he met the crowds cheering, and they were putting down the palm branches for the Feast of Tabernacles, where they celebrate the coming of the king to tabernacle with them. Those of you who have been going through Exodus with us on Wednesday nights, and as we've been going through Joshua on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons, we've been looking at the fact that God came and tabernacled or resided amongst his people. And he brought and established the tabernacle at the time of Moses, and then it was brought into the promised land by Joshua. And within the tabernacle, God resided within the Jewish community. He was at the center of it. When the tribes of Israel gathered together for their feasts and festivals after they were in the land, they would set up the same way that they had when they were out traveling through the wilderness and coming into the land and going to Gilgal and making that their initial place of encampment. They would establish, and the various tribes would be sitting on each side of the tabernacle, and the Lord would be in the center. He would be tabernacled with them. But things happened. We know from the history of Israel that they didn't follow what God commanded them to do. And God did not allow them to experience the blessing of the land. When David established the tabernacle on Mount Moriah, and then later on Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah, and the Temple Mount is still referred to today, and the retaining wall for the temple is all that is on the Temple Mount left of the temple, as it was destroyed, even as Jesus said, as every stone was torn down during the invasion by the Romans to destroy Jerusalem in 70 AD. But we know that the Lord drove Israel out of the land, first the northern kingdom, then the southern kingdom, into the Assyrian nations, and then the southern kingdom into the Babylonian nations. He then brought them back, but they have not been brought back, and the temple has not been rebuilt after it was destroyed by the Romans. And we know that even now today, the Jews are coming back into the land, as we can see. But there still is no tabernacle, no temple, no center where the Lord comes to tabernacle with his people. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were celebrating, but they didn't understand who he was and that he was there in their midst as the Messiah, their Lord and Redeemer. It's interesting, as I was preparing the message, I was looking at Luke, and if you go back in Luke's account of the events that transpired, right before he gives the account of Jesus entering Jerusalem, he gives a parable that Jesus gave right before that. It's found in chapter 19. It's the parable of the stewards. And he says that a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself, this is chapter 19 of Luke, verse 12, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, it's interesting that Jesus is giving this parable, which is really what the Lord had done for Israel. He'd been with them, he left, and then he said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. And Zechariah and other prophets had told about his coming. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it's interesting, that's exactly what had happened in Israel. Those that were the ones that should have known the most, which were the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were the ones that should have known the law. They should have known about Jesus' return. They should have known about the coming Messiah. But instead, they wanted to establish their own religious system where they were at the center of it. The Sadducees wanted to gain monetarily and politically from the control that they had over the people. The Pharisees, to a large extent, wanted to appear to be more righteous than the people and thus have the accolades and the worship of the people. And neither of them were looking to the Lord. And this was evident when Jesus came and how he spoke against them. And he does that when he gets into Jerusalem at the temple. And we'll look at that this afternoon. But anyway, he continues on and he says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to him, and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well done, thou good and servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up what that thou layest not down, and reapest that which didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which I did not lay down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I would reign over them, bring thither and slay them before me." Now, this is an interesting parable that he's giving. He's referring to those that he had left and entrusted, but would not take the trust, and openly rebelled against him, would not accept his leadership or his rule, his kingship over them, his ruling over them. And he's saying, "You shall be judged. You shall be judged, and you shall be the judgment is going to be severe and it's going to be final because you made your choice." Jesus came and he wept over Jerusalem. He'd just given this parable not that long before. He knew exactly what the heart of most of the people was, that they weren't there to receive him as their Lord, but they wanted him to be their deliverer, and they wanted to achieve miracles at his hand. Now, it's interesting. One of the reasons that I had that song, "Jesus is Coming Again," Jesus made another statement when he was speaking during around this time when he came back into Jerusalem. And that statement was, when he returns again, will he find faith on the earth? That seems like an interesting statement. Why would he make that statement? And how does that applicable to today? Well, the attitude that was possessed by those that ushered in Jesus on the Sunday, the beginning of the Passover week, is really an attitude that is coming and permeating much of the church. They want the power of Jesus. They want the gifts of Jesus. They even want the salvation of Jesus, but they don't want to acknowledge Him as their Lord and Savior. They want to bow their knee to Him. They don't want to give their lives to Him. They don't want to believe and trust in Him. And rather that they would look to this world. As I was reading this, I was reading an account of this evangelist who had gone out and he was speaking at this church. And during his sermon, he made the statement. He said, "How many of you here tonight, when you die, want to go to heaven?" And everybody in the place raised their hands except one little boy. Well, after the service, the man went out and back, and the little boy came by, and the man said, "Young man," he said, "when I asked the question, how many of you here tonight want to go to heaven? Everybody